This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Good morning, Limits.
Good morning, Joe. It is wonderful to see you.
I appreciate that. I want to dive into Packers-Steelers, but I feel like I have to just be honest today, this morning, with where I'm at. The final turned out to be the final game of my daughter's sports career happened last night, and it was a rough loss. Like, we lost, Seton lost to Avonworth in the volleyball playoffs. Great match. We had match points, so it was especially gut-wrenching. And Avonworth competed against them and lost to them in a number of things over the years. Very, really nice people, nice fan base, good kids, great athletes all over the place at that school. So it was gut-wrenching in that respect. But what I'm feeling today is bigger than that, and I'm sure that people, if you played youth sports or if kids who played it, you know what I'm talking about. Just the finality of it all with my only kid and remembering, you know, I didn't think I was ever going to have kids. I was 43 when she was born. And there she was, a 43-year-old guy with a little daughter, and pretty soon we started playing sports, and I would always tell her when she got to be about 9, I would say, I can't believe I have a daughter that I can whip a baseball and softball at literally as hard as I can. And she catches it and throws it back. And all the games and all the fun, you know, working on the sport through the years, me and her just practicing and having fun. And then eventually became not fun and she didn't want to practice anymore. Certain sports like pitching softball and things like that. But all of that, those long days of travel softball and travel volleyball where you're with the other parents and they're playing a million games, and just all came to an end in one fell swoop. It just ended. I'd never seen her really cry before after a game, but the finality of it all was just, it was something to see and witness and be a part of. And I think that her activities were helping to keep me distracted from other things. And so it was just a, you know, very powerful night, you know, and it just comes to an end. That's it. That's it for her sports career. That was the last game. It's just a very strange feeling. It's kind of a pit in my stomach. It's sort of, you know, bittersweet, because the sweet part is all the years that we got to enjoy sports. You know, that's what it boils back to, is sports really, truly, not cliche, as a reflection of life. You got to deal with this crap. You know what I mean? You're having the highest of highs, and then just an absolute gut punch of a loss, and then you can't help but just look back on her. One of my favorite moments with her, you know, it turned out that, and I don't know if other people can relate or not, but it turned out that really my favorite moments from her whole sports career were just me and her when she was little, just playing and practicing. And it was during the pandemic. You couldn't play any games or be around people. So we'd go in there's a park in our backyard, and we had this goal that she would hit the softball off a tree that was behind a fence way back there. And she did it one day. We have it on video, and we celebrated like it was game 7 of the World Series. And that was, you know, all the time, working out, practicing, having fun. Coach pitch, that was the best, was coach pitch when I would be pitching, and, you know, you pitch to your own team so she could hit the other people. And that's the other thing, is you become invested in all these other people, these great girls, you know, that I would meet over the years and their parents. And then it's just weird. It's just weird when it ends. But by far, it was good and bad, believe me. And I was good and bad as a sports parent. But it ended bad with the loss, but good with the feeling that I was there for it. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And I experienced those own moments playing the same sport. You know, volleyball losses junior year, our coach retires after 25 years, and that was maybe even more emotional than the loss. Senior year, going up to Seneca Valley as a 12 seed and ultimately losing and knowing in the final points, just kind of looking around at everybody.
Yeah.
As you know that you're just not going to win, and just trying to take it in, look around a couple of times. I always tried to have a good feeling for that moment and just to process it and look around and think about it, but there's no doubt it absolutely sucks when it all comes to an end.
Man, does it ever, especially that way. We had a match point, and it just didn't happen, but thankful overall. Thankful to have had a daughter at my age, and she's healthy, and like I said, here's the thing about sports too. Here's the beauty of it. What I always wanted for her, and what at times she didn't get, was you're part of something bigger than yourself, and you're invested in it with other people. You're connected with other people, and you're invested. And that's what I told her last night in a text, because sometimes texting is easier than talking, right? That the way that she was just, you know, basically weeping after the game was an indication of how much she cared, those kids cared, and how much they were invested. And that's why it hurt. And that is living. That's living right there, right?
Because of how much it means.
Yes, and because you're invested in it with other people.
Yes, and the time you put into it and where it ranks on your priorities list is so high up, and you want to succeed, but, you know, sometimes life throws other things at you, and it is the story of life and how you bounce back from it, how you learn from it, and how you appreciate it.
It is.
You know?
And there's been a lot of it lately, and like I said, that was, I think her activities were a distraction, and now that's been removed. So it's a wild time, and I just wanted to share that with you and with everybody out there, that's what's happening right now. And I'm sure on some levels people can relate, you know. Anyhow, we got a ball game on Sunday night, don't we?
Oh, we sure do.
And as we started the week with, I think it's about as high profile a game as the Steelers have had in a long time. The eyes of the football world are going to be on Acrisure Stadium Sunday night. And I think it's going to be a great game. And I think it's going to be just what you would want in a game like this, which is a battle of quarterbacks. Look at both the pass defenses, right? The yeah. Packers have a pretty good defense. I think the Packers are slightly overrated this season.
The run defense is second in the NFL.
Yeah. Very good run defense, not a very good pass defense. And when you actually look at their resume, like there was talk after they had a resounding opening day win over the Lions, there was talk in Green Bay and other circles about whether this team would go undefeated. Like, it's a good team there. I think they're top 10 scoring offense and defense, if not the right on the cusp of it. And that's usually a pretty good recipe, but this is not a great team. Nobody can convince me of that. Look at the receiving weapons that Jordan Love has. It's not the Steelers have the best weapon. If you added them all up, that's DK Metcalf. You know what I mean? They're not exactly loaded with offensive weapons. They're a good, efficient team. They have a good quarterback. I think a great head coach, a great offensive mind. They have a star in Micah Parsons. They're solid. But they lost to Cleveland. They tied the Cowboys and gave up 40 points. They had a one-score game with the Bengals down the stretch in Flacco's first game, and then they needed a huge fourth-quarter comeback to beat Arizona. So let's not mistake what this Packers team actually is. It's a good team. It's not a great team. And they're vulnerable to the pass as long as you can keep your quarterback upright. We know that the Steelers are vulnerable defensively. So I think we're headed for a great game and a quarterback duel between Rodgers and his protege. Love is Rodgers' protege, right?
Yeah.
Protege. Rodgers was Love's mentor, right? Do I have the terminology correct, Lemons?
Yes, just like how you are my mentor.
And you're my protege.
Someday down the line, a long ways away.
I think it's going to be a great game. And I think that the Steelers are going to win. And I think the good news in all of this, is that the Steelers have a quarterback and an offense that can threaten people. When's the last time we said that, oh, Limitless Wonder?
Pre-Ben injury.
Maybe a little bit. Didn't Ben come back with 33 touchdowns from the injury year?
He did, yeah. He did have a good year.
A little bit there. But this, I mean, I went back and watched that game earlier this week, the Bengals game. Because in the horror of it, you know, we all focused on the defense for good reason. It's just, it's an embarrassment, right? That was an embarrassing game. One of the worst defensive performances of Tomlin's 19-year tenure. But if they could just get their crap together to be average or above average, and I do believe they have the talent to be that, there's an offense in town that's getting better and that has a quarterback that's getting better and can actually move around a little bit, which I didn't think we were going to see any reasonable facsimile of the young Aaron Rodgers, and there was a little bit of it in that game. Slower for sure, but still moving around. Look at that touchdown. Look at the opening touchdown to Jonnu, where he ran left, ran right, evaded people, and made an unbelievable play, and he did a little bit of that the previous week with Connor Hayward, where he's sprinting right. Well, sprinting might be a strong word. He's running right, ad-libbing, pointing to Hayward where to go in the end zone, and then delivering a strike on the run. That's vintage stuff. If Aaron Rodgers has a great game Sunday night, guess what? He starts to get MVP odds attached to him. And other guys are taking steps back. Baker just did. He had a horrible game. Josh Allen is in trouble because that team stinks and he has no weapons. Shakir is their big weapon. That's their number one guy. So some of the people, Lamar's been hurt. Burrows is out. It's become a very interesting MVP race, and I can't believe that I'm saying this out loud, but when you're on pace to throw for 40 touchdowns, I think you're by definition, if that pace continues or even increases, by definition, you're going to get talked about as an MVP candidate. Does that make sense?
I think it fully makes sense, yeah.
What if this guy goes out and throws for three more, has a great game on national television in a gigantic, one of the biggest, I think, one of the highest profile games of the entire NFL season, the Aaron Rodgers Bowl, him against his former team with Micah Parsons chasing him down. They have a quarterback. They have an offense that could get better. That's why I want them to augment this offense. and get more people in here. But right now, like, who's the leading? Is there a slam dunk MVP candidate limits? I don't think so. A lot of people think Patrick Mahomes. They might be right. They might be right. He's off to a very good start. 14 touchdowns and two picks. But the guy here has 14 and 5. Mahomes has a 102 rating. The guy here has a 105 rating. It's quite startling to look at that. And it sounds crazy to say it out loud. I feel like a crazy person. But if he goes out in front of the whole country and looks like he did last weekend or last Thursday, whenever it was, and he will be facing a much better defense, but he also looked great against the Jets. He's had plenty of good moments in other games this season. I think the offense and him, even though the progress isn't linear necessarily, are on an upward slope here, don't you?
No doubt. And, you know, before Baker Mayfield laid an egg with the Lions, I thought that he was the MVP candidate that should be in the lead. But if Aaron Rodgers goes out there and throws three touchdowns, 250-plus, and beats the Packers, a pretty solid defense, and Micah Parsons doesn't make a big impact, he definitely should be in the conversation, yeah. Maybe not the leader in the clubhouse, but he should be in the conversation and a legitimate person that's in that room being discussed. No doubt.
Right now, it's Patrick Mahomes at plus 125. And I think, you know, the thinking there is he's off to a great start, and it's very logical thinking, I might add, very sound reasoning. He's already off to a great start. 14 touchdowns, two picks. His weapons are just coming together, and he looks like there's something different about his look. Like at times, he was beaten up these past few years. They seem to have shored up their offensive line issues, certainly improved them. And now Rashee Rice is healthy. They have Worthy. Who am I missing among their weapons on the outside? Travis Kelce looked good in the last game. They got all kinds of guys running around out there for him. So it's sound thinking. After that, it's Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. And I'm telling you right now that Josh Allen is not going to win the MVP this year. You only get so many years where it's magical. You know what I mean? And they've had far better teams, and he's had far better weapons. It was sort of ironic, I think painfully ironic for Bills fans that Stephon Diggs came in and torched them in a Patriots uniform in a Sunday night game. That was his guy. Last year, it was this more spread it around, everybody eats philosophy, and it was a great story, and he was great and a deserving MVP. But at some point, you got to have a stud. Like, how many people outside of maybe Brady, and there were times that he had Randy Moss and Gronk. I think Wes Welker was even a star at some points. But he did win. Brady did win without, you know, a big star receiver. He did that a couple times. Outside of him, can you think of great quarterbacks who didn't win with stars? At least one? It's hard for me to do. And that's what Josh Allen is trying to do now again, is to get somewhere, get at least to the AFC title game, when he's got literally nobody on his team who merits a double team from the defense. He's not going to win the MVP. Baker Mayfield took a step back. There's Matthew Stafford. There's Jared Goff. There's Daniel Jones. But I mean, it's Jared Goff and Daniel Jones and Matthew Stafford. You know, Stafford's great. But they're not guys you think of as shoo-in MVP candidates. I think the field, it's right now, it's Mahomes and everybody else. Do you agree with that?
I do.
And I'm saying right here that with a great game, Rodgers can join the everybody else crowd. I think, like, there's seven guys listed here. Daniel Jones is seventh. And if one of those guys takes a step back and Rodgers has a great game, I think he has to be among those odds.
I think he should be among those guys right now, but just at the bottom of it, where he can climb up that ladder. Where is he going to surpass Daniel Jones yet?
No,
maybe after the game that he plays him next week.
He has that opportunity is there. This sucks. You know that? They finally found a quarterback and an offense, and their defense stinks.
And he's 41, and you wish that you could have him around for a lot longer.
Oh, my God. It's so frustrating. And they had, you know, the nerve to tell the world that it was a historically great deal. Just be quiet and play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Just be average. You got pieces everywhere, all right. The rest of this list of MVP candidates, after Daniel Jones, Jordan Love, plus 2,500, Prescott, Lamar, Sam Darnold, Herbert, Hurts, Jonathan Taylor, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix at plus 10,000. Then Aaron Rodgers, sandwiched between Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels with Christian McCaffrey right behind them. You just inch your way up. They have a quarterback, and they have an ascending, potentially ascending offense. I'm not guaranteeing anything there either. We were very high on Russell Wilson for a while, but doesn't it feel different? At 412-928-9370, 928-9370, doesn't it feel different with this offense? And it's great news, by the way, to have a quarterback who is more than just a game manager, who looks way different. You know, I've defended Ben for his final year here, that he was far better than he gets credit for, especially with Kendrick Green. It just, you know, when you have somebody who's the literal center of your offense getting blown up regularly, an undersized guard out of Illinois trying to play center, that's something you have to compensate for the entire game and your game plan and the way that you play the position. Ben had to deal with that. And he has mentioned that in so many words in the subsequent years. He had to deal with that in his final year, and he still had a pretty good year, right? He still got them to the playoffs. But this is different. Rodgers is better now than Ben was then. And Rodgers, I think you're right, Limits, is giving them their best quarterbacking since pre-injury Ben. Wait, the beginning of the 2020 year when they started whatever it was, 10-0?
Oh, yeah, 11.
11-0.
Lost to Washington.
They had a pretty potent offense early, but then people realized that all it was the Feuchner throw short, hope to run long, Ben gets rid of the ball in a second type of offense. The Commanders sort of unmasked them, and it was never the same. Who knows? Maybe people catch on to this offense, but I feel like this offense is a little bit more diversified. I feel like the run game is improving, and I feel like the offensive line is ascending. We'll see where it goes. This is a big test in this game for Broderick Jones and Fatanu going up against Gary and Parsons. That is a challenge.
They answered the bell against Myles Garrett, though.
They did. I think this is maybe a different challenge. But, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is, amidst all the angst, well-earned angst, they have a quarterback. And when you have that, you have a chance. What I was going to say before is more than just a game manager. I didn't think that he was going to be a guy who was the big reason that they could win. He's the big reason that they could win right now. That's how well I think he's playing. I don't know how long it lasts, but that's what my eyes are telling me. He was unbelievable in that game against the Bengals, you know, and even the one interception that's on him was him taking a shot down the field and trying to let a guy make a play. I didn't think the time was great for it because they were also running the ball basically at will. But how much am I going to complain about that? How much do we talk about that? Get it down the field. Take a shot. Give him a shot. Get it to Metcalf. He did. Got picked off. Other than that, he was spectacular. He basically won them the game until the defense lost them the game. It's unbelievable the stuff he was doing. His accuracy on those back shoulder throws, his accuracy on the seam throws, his touch on the real short throws, and then he can clearly air it out, and his performance was punctuated by one of the greatest Hail Mary throws you'll ever see. What were the numbers on that, Limit?
70 yards was the farthest thrown football since 2017.
The one that traveled the farthest in the air in the NFL. That dude at 41. That's the good news here. 928-9370, your thoughts. I think it's going to be an epic battle on a Sunday night, kind of like Flacco Rodgers. I think Jordan Love can light up this defense, and I think Rodgers can light up the Packers, provided he gets time. Here's what I'm going to tell you, Limits. There once was a day when Aaron Rodgers and Ben had a legendary back and forth. I believe Ben was still in his 20s then. I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 2009, I think he was. Rodgers was, and it was a walk-off home run to Mike Wallace, literally as time expired. Other than Hail Marys, that has to be the longest walk-off pass in league history. That wasn't a Hail Mary. That was an unbelievable throw and catch. 30-some yards, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and look, but it's one of the farthest plays you'll ever see on the last play of a game. I think we see something similar with Aaron Rodgers taking Ben's spot for the Steelers and Jordan Love taking Rodgers' spot for the Packers. And I'm going to say the Steelers win it 30-28 on a Boz field goal late. Do you like that call, Limits?
I do like that call.
What's your call?
Well, it's funny that that's your score because my score is very, very similar. I think that it will be a three-point game. And I have the Steelers winning 31-28. So we are correct, or at least we are the same, on predicting Green Bay with 28 total points.
Yeah. And I think, going back to the bubble that we live in, understandably, I think a lot of people are going to remember that Thursday night game who watched around the country, much the way they remember the Joe Montana game in his later years for Kansas City. I believe it was a Monday night game. And I still have visions of that. We get captivated by the old man, at least in football terms, recapturing the fountain of youth. You know, America loves that kind of sports story. We love comeback stories, and we love the wily, old, battered, veteran quarterback coming back for one more, you know, taste from the fountain of youth. You know what I mean? It's part of the mythology of football. You can hear John Vicenda calling that game on NFL film. They should make an NFL films.
They should.
Of maybe, honestly, the greatest old man quarterback duel there's ever been. Flacco against Rodgers. That was kind of a legendary battle. We were focused on the fact that the Steelers' defense sucked, but it was legendary. It might have been, you know, might have been one of the better games, night games, probably the best Thursday night game or one of two or three there's ever been. And I think people will remember it. And I think we should do a documentary on it. And I think you and Donnie should narrate it.
It wasn't better than Pickens fighting in the snow with Newsom and blaming the weather for the loss.
That was memorable for different reasons, I think. But this one was something to see. And this will be a different version of that young guy, old guy, the guy who took the old guy's spot. Man, I can't wait to watch it. Your thoughts?
Just keep grinding. Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
Well, Pickens was definitely accurate on that pretty much for the Browns' whole history since they got back to the NFL. I don't think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. But they did beat the Packers. So hold your horses on there's, you know, a juggernaut coming into town. There's a good team coming here Sunday night. Not a great one. 412-928-9370. It's a football Friday. That means usually Greensburg's very own Donnie Football will be here. But he is either at a wedding or celebrating his 30th birthday or both this weekend. Is that right, Limits?
Yeah, both. Down in Florida.
He's in Naples. Do you think, now Naples is, and this is brought to you, by the way, by Smale Kia, Route 30 in Greensburg, and off the top was brought to you by our friend Joe Podocznik, JP Roofing and Siding. That's not far from Fort Myers. In fact, when I took my wife and daughter to Naples a couple of years ago, shortly after Ron left the station, we hooked up with Ron for dinner. It was like a 30-minute drive. That was it. Does Donnie contact Ron? Should Donnie contact Ron?
Considering that when I was in Miami, I contacted Ron in January for the Orange Bowl, knowing how far that was away from Ron, I think that Donnie must contact Ron. And if he does not, then that is a shame on him for not doing so.
I agree. I think Donnie should contact Ron for a cup of coffee or a cup of beer, as the case may be.
Why not to bring him to the wedding? Sneak Ron into the wedding that Donnie is at.
Or a keg of beer. Yeah, he should definitely sneak Don. He should sneak Ron in. Why are alarms going off in here, Limit?
There is a scheduled fire drill today.
A fire drill? What are we supposed to leave now and line up outside and giggle like we're in seventh grade?
There was a huge sign when I walked into the building today that said, fire drill today.
So do we need to leave or can we stay?
I think we can stay.
Okay.
But typically, if there was a fire drill at your establishment, we ask that you please follow the rules of the fire drill.
Yeah, they don't call it a fire drill for nothing, and I don't think part of the drill is sitting here while there's an alarm 2 feet away from me going off, right?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I got 30-28 Steelers in an epic battle between Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. I think high scoring. I think a memorable Sunday night game. Limit says 31-28. What do you have? How do you see this game unfolding? And is there good news amidst all the upset and angst over the Steelers' defense? The good news being, if you can just raise this defense to being slightly above average, they're going to have a better chance than they've had in recent years because they have a quarterback who can make plays, who can make something out of nothing and score points. And I think it stands to reason anyway, that could get better, especially if they add a player. Like, I think the one thing that I disagree with people on, and even Hokie, who I love and who might be right, but I think, and Ben, who said it on his podcast, and even I was saying this as recently as a week ago, maybe even Monday, to one of our friends who calls all the time and keeps saying they need another receiver, is that it's the defense that needs attention. That's the problem. Why are we talking about receiver? Another receiver is not even going to have a role in this offense right now. You know, there's not enough footballs to go around. It's tight end centric. Calvin Austin's coming back. All of that, I hear you, but it's for me, it's not about right now. It's about a particular week where you might need a guy. And that particular week could be against Indy and the highest scoring offense in the league when you're going to need to outscore them. See, when you mention the defense is the problem, that underscores the need for a wide receiver. You're making the argument that the Steelers need another receiver because they need to compensate for that defense, sadly, by scoring more. They're at 25 points a game. They got to get it up toward 30. And on a given week, it's going to need to be more than that, like it needed to be against the Bengals, like it needed to be against the Jets to win that game. That's what you're dealing with here. So double down. And it's not about right now or how often are they going to use this new receiver or it's a luxury. No, man, there's going to come a week, maybe against the Buffalo Bills, if they, and I know they're coming here in the regular season, they come here for a playoff game. And by the way, if the season ended, that's who would come here. They're coming here with Josh Allen. He's probably going to do some damage to this defense. But guess what? The Bills' defense stinks. So you need to not only have a good game against that defense, you might need to score 35 or 40 points. That might be the week that you need a boundary receiver, another weapon to threaten somebody with. Why would it be a bad thing to give up a fourth or fifth round pick for Jacoby Myers, who is a good receiver? I don't understand the downside of that. Can you explain to me what the downside of that would be, Limits? I don't care if Jacoby Myers comes in here and is basically invisible for 4 weeks. It might be the fifth one that you need him based on the schematics of a certain game, based on your plan for a certain game. You suddenly need a guy outside who can damage people, a reliable, high IQ route runner who never drops the ball. How is that a bad thing? And that's Jacoby Myers, by the way, can play inside or outside. Is it a tight end centric offense because the Steelers desperately want it to be that, or because they don't have the weapons to make it more of a receiver offense? I think that's a fair question too. add to your weaponry. That can't be a bad thing. And on a given week, especially in a playoff situation, if you get there, it could be the difference between winning and losing a game.
I don't see a downside to it at all. I mean, you're not going to give up a first-round pick. You're not going to give up a second-round pick, probably, for either Jacoby Myers or maybe Jalen Waddle would have to be a second. You could probably figure out something else to be able to give up. Plus, those are also younger receivers that you can have longer for the next however many years that you'd like to have them. So you can even structure your offense and build your offense more catered towards them in whatever passing game that you'd like to run. So I don't see a downside to it at all. I do agree that they need to add something on the defensive side of the ball, but doubling down on offense does not hurt that. If your defense can't stop anybody, try to make it like Burrow's offense in Cincinnati and try to outscore everyone.
Let's hit the lines, limits.
All right, let's go to Stan. He's in Fort Lauderdale.
Hey, Stan. I wish I was in Fort Lauderdale. What's up?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me. New listener, diehard Steeler fan for a while. I just want to bring up a couple points, and I just want to mention a few things and get your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed is, I watched that game and I watched film on the Bengals. What hurt us, I thought, was a short week and Aaron Rodgers making those two interceptions. I know that one, basically Tuttle threw it, pulled it out of DK's hand. But I felt like the time of possession killed us, going into the second half, and then they had the ball after halftime. So not making any excuses, but I felt the defense got really tired. I was really upset that Herbig did not get enough playing time at all. I mean, he's been a wrecking crew for the defense. And, Highsmith came back and he didn't get enough reps. But the one thing that really hurt me a lot was seeing them not utilizing Ramsey the right way, for the most part. He's not your one-on-one matchup anymore. He needs to be playing the nickel. And the same thing with Slay. Slay should be on the cover, too, not be trying to do man-to-man coverage. It just kills us, seeing that.
Well,
and then one other thing I want to mention.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Joe.
No, go ahead.
I just want to mention one other thing. Clark, I think Jarrell Pepper should be replaced for Clark. He was blowing coverages left and right, and you see how he played against the Patriots game. I mean, they need to put him in more, get him more reps. And I'm hoping the Steelers listen to me, because I watch so much film and I see, the nuances of what's happening. And I know Tomlin always, talks about the schematics, and that's what was going wrong in that game.
So you're imagining perhaps Tomlin and Terrell Austin listening to this right now and taking your advice?
Hi, Mike.
Who is this, Limits?
This is Stan.
Why are you saying hi? Oh, hi, Mike.
I said hi to Mike. Tomlin.
Thank you, Stan. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Limits, do you think Stan and others believe that there's a chance that could happen, that somebody on the Steelers will be listening and take their advice to heart?
Well, I think somebody from the Steelers is listening. Who it is, I don't know. Or if they're delivering something back, to Mike or Omar to put that actually into the playbook.
No,
I doubt it.
I don't think that's happening.
No.
But he talked about a lot there, to the point that now I can't remember one thing he talked about. Let's talk about Jalen Ramsey. There were people who said by the end of, he said he shouldn't be covering Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one. I agree with that. By the end of the game, you had people saying, why are they using Jalen Ramsey in bracket coverage? Like he's just a supplement type guy. Part of me agrees with that too. I mean, he is not at the point in his career. I don't know that anybody in the league is where they cover Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one. There's nobody in the league who can do that. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that.
So to leave him on an island, especially at the end of a half like that, the end of the first half was borderline tragic. It was just like, here, we're just going to run, simple outs to the sidelines, see if you can stop it. He couldn't. The only thing that stopped it was Chase bobbled the ball. And by the way, there were like 3-4 drops at least by Flacco's receivers, including 2 by Chase.
Couple by Yoshivash.
Who was phenomenal. Flacco almost went 40 for 47 for over 400 yards, Limits. The other thing is, Clark could be replaced. I wouldn't have a problem with that. And Darius Slay. Have we talked enough about that? It started in the opener when he got smoked for a touchdown one-on-one. He's clearly not the guy he was. This is a problem. Could rear its ugly head again Sunday night? How about Echols? More snaps. Slay, fewer snaps, he's looking like Patrick Peterson the second here, is he not?
Joey Penalty Jr. and Patrick Peterson. What a secondary that made not too long ago.
Now, this one ain't much better, and it might be worse. Who's next, O Limitless Wonder?
Let's go to Paul. He is in Friendship, where I'm sure they are spending some very fun friendship glee every day.
I used to live in Friendship, Paul. How are you?
I'm great, and I've lived in Friendship for a long time. I love it, and I love saying it also. I love things like that, Joe, and that's one of the reasons I love listening to you, because you can relate. Where do you live? I live in Friendship. Isn't that nice? I love saying that every day. But
it's
anyway.
It's nice to be nice to the nice. Frank Byrne said that on MASH once, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, everyone, your point is so well made about the Steelers. It's like, look at Pitt. It's the same thing. It's all about the quarterback. It's always all about the quarterback. It's like a baseball team. It's all about the starting pitching.
Yeah.
You don't win unless you have a quarterback. It's not complicated, you know, and that's why this season has become interesting when everyone thought they were going to go 6-6.
You crystallized my thought there with a better way to phrase it, and thank you for doing that. I want to get more thoughts in a minute. They now have the hard part solved, at least for now. I don't know how long this continues with Rodgers, but who's to say it won't get better? The hard part's done now. They have a quarterback who can really play and win you games, but now the defense stinks. How is this possible? But they have the hard part figured out. Thank you for crystallizing that into one phrase, but go ahead.
And also, real quick, you darn near brought a tear to my eye talking about your daughter. I have a son who is a baseball player, and we went through the whole thing, Joe. Travel baseball, high school baseball. He played junior college baseball. Mm. He played Division I baseball. He was a conference champion winning pitcher in the A-10. And now he's actually playing, he has just finished his first season of pro ball. So it's still going
nice.
For me, and it's just so great. But I'll tell you a quick story. One of his little league seasons, we were playing our last tournament. He was a starting pitcher, and we lost the game, much like what you were describing.
Yeah.
And he was pouting on the way home. And I said to him, I said, oh, are you bummed out that you lost the game? And he goes, Dad, we always, you know, we've lost games before, and I'll lose games again. And I said, well, what are you mad about? And he goes, well, now it's the off season, and the off season sucks.
I like
that.
He was 12. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't ever forget it. You know, I mean, and I cracked up, and he was mad at me for laughing, but he was right. You know. Anyway, listen, I thought you'd enjoy that memory.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. It's seeing them enjoy it. That's the fun part of sports. And like I said, seeing her connected to a group of people in pursuit of something, that's how you know. And when you're that upset when you lose, that nervous going into a game, that's how you know it matters. And here's the bigger story there that I bet you a lot of people can relate to. And it is a story about, kids these days, but it really is a story about kids these days that I think it's becoming harder and harder to become connected like that around a sport or anything because of phones. It sounds silly, but those things are intentionally addictive. And if you watch kids or adults these days, me included, we're all just sitting there staring at our phones, and it's an epidemic with younger kids. The younger they get the phone, the less they're interacting, the less something like this, like a sport, means to them, because they can't put the damn thing down. And it's borderline tragic, really. So that makes it even more meaningful when you have a group of kids going into, you know, a playoff game or an event together, nervous and ready to play, and then just devastated by defeat. It's all part of it. But the good news is they're living a real life that's interconnected to other people. And that's becoming harder to come by. There was a really interesting experiment at my daughter's school recently where they took the phones away at the end of the day. So all the kids are outraged, you know, especially the older ones. How dare they do this to me? Well, something funny happened on the way to being outraged is that a couple weeks later, she comes back and says, Dad, you won't believe what's going on at school. The cafeteria now and other places, we're talking to each other. We don't have the phone, so we're playing little games. We're telling stories. We're interacting. We're having fun. And the cafeteria, we're talking to the principal about a week ago, the cafeteria has gone from being, you know, a silent phone factory to now their biggest problem is telling the kids to quiet down. It's like the story of the Grinch who stole Christmas. You know, at first everybody's sad and morose and how dare this happened. But then when the Grinch looks down from his perch and sees the little Who's in Whoville celebrating, this is what it's become without their phones limits. The lunchroom is now too loud. And wow. I get goosebumps telling you about that, because what's happening at large is really, really concerning and sad. And sports is one of the antidotes to a culture of childhood phone addiction. And I mean that.
I remember when we got phones for the first time, like in grade school, I had like a slide out phone with a keyboard that I would, you know, type on, like one of the first phones that came out. And it was like a revelation. It was like, whoa, what's going on here? And then I saw that in high school, where the older and older I got, the more and more the phones became a part of the ordeal.
Yeah.
And they were even being used for research during classes and stuff like that.
And they replace going outside. They do. Yeah. That's exercising, you know, and having fun, which in the end is the true meaning of sports, having fun. I remember my dad telling me that not long before he passed, maybe 2 months ago. We were talking about sports and youth sports and stuff. And he's like, I always thought, you know, people get so hung up on the games. When I played sports, I was thinking, I want to have fun. And something clicked. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it is for fun. You forget along the way with the winning and losing. You're supposed to have fun. But so many kids are just locked inside.
Yeah.
And not exercising their bodies or their minds or anything else.
Well, that's part of the reason why I created the Wiffle Ball League. Like, we all graduated, and then the year later is when I started the league, basically as a way to still see everybody that we knew from high school. It grew from 20 people to 25 to 35 to 40 to now 50 people from, you know, all different parts of the area. Now we have people from all kind of different districts.
Yeah.
And it's something where it allows us to see everybody every Sunday during the summer, whether it's everybody's competitive with it, no doubt. But in the end, it's fun to still see everybody and still be able to connect where we don't have. That's why everybody looks so much forward to it when the summer rolls around.
I love that. And
it makes it sweet.
I think people are looking for ways to have things like that instead of just sitting there staring at a screen. Anyway, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Cloudy today and a high of 51. Nick Herbig, a low of 39. Tony Mantha, and I love that play the other night where he scores and flies into the net and for good measure just punches the Canucks defenseman in the face after the goal. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Yeah, how about those Who's in Whoville limits? Remember that?
Yes. Don't love their song that they sing in Whoville, too?
Yeah, I love that.
Welcome Christmas. That's as much as I know.
Yes, I love that song. And it was quite the turn the first time. I mean, once you know the movie, but I distinctly remember the first time I was mad for them.
I didn't
know how it would turn out. I thought Christmas was ruined. And then all of a sudden, the Grinch is watching from high above Whoville. Yeah. And you hear the music coming from Whoville.
Sometimes I can't watch the Grinch, though, because I feel bad for the dog.
Yeah.
And he puts like the little antler on the dog. Yeah. I get very upset about that.
And do you remember who spurned the Christmas who sparked, I should say, the Christmas turnaround for all the Who's?
Tell me.
Cindy Lou Who.
Yes.
Remember?
I do remember Cindy Lou Who.
She's the one who made the Whovillians see that Christmas was more than just their toys.
Yes, just the presents.
We learn from our children limits, don't we?
We do. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
That? Well, Grinch? That's not really. Well, the one with Jim Carrey is great. Yeah, probably that. And then the one with Fred Claus, where it's about his brother.
Yeah, that is
so good.
I like, my favorite is by far Christmas Vacation.
Santa Claus's resentful brother, Fred.
Santa Claus.
What's your favorite one?
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
By far.
You can't beat that
incredible
one.
Incredible movie. Followed by Elf.
Elf is very good as well.
Not far behind.
Now, yeah. The no, please, Christmas I can't take this anymore. Although, if you went ahead to Bob Solo, I wouldn't object to it, because that always brings a smile to my face. And
that oversized hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, Malzy danced around.
It's become an international hit, I believe.
It's the reason why we won the Marconi Award, I believe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.